And we should be live. Welcome everyone to episode 3 of Bricks and Brits. This time, me, Brickitect, and Cut the Craggler, joined by a very special guest by the name of Si O'Connor.
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome, Si. Thank you for coming on. If you guys want to know the backstory, Si has been in the community for like a super long time with us. And I've wanted to like stream with him. In fact, we were just talking. We were kind of having like a little mini party before this started here. And I was like, wait, we got to save some of this. And I mentioned to Si, it was during the 8-hour Ninjago doc stream. And I was like, we got to stream together. And I was going to come on his channel or here. And here he is filling in for Rogue, who is having a birthday party for his brother right now. So he couldn't make it.
Wait, he's not like permanently gone? I thought we fired him.
Oh yeah, I forgot the other story. So everyone hated Rogue so much that we had to fire him after 2 episodes, and Si has now replaced him permanently.
Yes! So
we've upgraded the show after 2 episodes.
I mean, let's face it, anything would be an upgrade over Rogue.
No, poor Rogue's here. Okay, so you guys should probably know, I think I might have mentioned this in the first episode, but Craggle and Rogue have this relationship where they go back and forth like they don't like each other, but they're like BFFs, just so you know. Also, Rogue is here, so you're going to make him cry in the chat.
If I don't make Rogue cry at least once a day, then I've not fulfilled like my life's ambition.
That is true, too. I should also apologize as well that my camera's on. Si came on with his camera on, and I felt inspired, so you guys have to look at me. If you want to look at something much prettier than this, just look over on the right side of your screen there where Si is, and you'll be much better off. should we mention, though, this is Bricks and Brits, and I was supposed to be the only person that's not from the UK on here, necessarily.
But yeah.
Si is here.
What I mean, I had to describe to you, didn't I, like, the difference between Great Britain and England, and also the difference between Great Britain and the United Kingdom.
Yes.
So we call it Bricks and Brits, but you say it's the United Kingdom, which includes Northern Ireland, where Britain is normally just England, Scotland, and Wales.
Correct.
But then we've got Si O'Connor, who's from the Republic of Ireland, which is neither Great Britain or United Kingdom.
Have we lost all of the professionality that we had here?
But it does say Bricks and Brits, so you could say that he's on the brick side of things. I'm representing the Brits, you know? So
he does have a Lego logo on his shirt, so I feel like he fits in perfectly here.
Yeah.
Si, do you want to... Oh, go ahead, Craig.
I was just saying, I just realized that Si probably looks like what I did if I cut my hair and like shave my beard off.
Awesome. Si looks like what I should probably look like. I need to get rid of that one on here. I think I would look better if I were to go with the Si look, personally.
Yeah.
I think you're looking quite distinguished now.
Mrs. Brickitect is getting on me about the beard, but it's just begun. I need something substantial here. Like,
it's beard jealousy. Women get jealous because they can't grow a beard.
I know. I feel like my thoughts on it, and I have no idea why this is becoming a topic, but this is. But I feel like when you don't have much hair to work with, you got to have something that shows your personality, and I feel like a beard can be that thing, right?
Yeah.
Or glasses, because you can just draw attention to the glasses, and you know, talking, you look interested. Really? Oh, I see.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah, it makes you look intelligent.
It does. Yeah.
You look it, but.
I can use any help that I can get in any way. So if anyone has any recommendations, I appreciate it. Should we have Si talk about who he is and what he's all about? Si's relatively new to YouTube. He's been around for a long time, but he just started making videos rather recently. Do you want to tell everyone? They already know who we are, but they got to find out who Si is.
So, okay, basically I have been collecting Lego for about 7 years. And I got into Lego basically because we're in Tesco one day, as you probably all heard Rogue and Craig talk about. Tesco is a supermarket. So we were in the pots and pans aisle, and Series 11 CMF collectible minifigures had come out, and I liked them, and I said, I'm going down here to have a look, and I have the kids with me, and we'll see if the kids like them. If they like them, I'll take whatever is left over if they get doubles. So that grew into me being a collector of minifigures, which grew into me wanting the Flash minifigure. He only came in one set. I bought that, became a Lego collector, and it grew from there, and I turned into a Lego menagerie, really. But since the lockdown, I decided, well, what happened was I always wanted to do a Lego channel, and I always said to the wife, is it okay? And she was like, yeah, go on do it. And I said, I will. And this guy here, it was always, if you want to make a Lego channel, make a Lego channel. If you want to, and every week it seemed like Greg was like, do it. I'm doing it. So I did it, and here I am 4 months later, and I'm having a laugh. It's brilliant.
That's awesome. Wow. I love two parts to your story. I love the fact that Lego became a gateway drug, basically. And I love that you asked the wife for permission.
I was going to say that.
It's like, please, can I just... You're a smart man.
Yeah, you'll get a ch-ch if you don't ask.
Exactly. And now looking behind you there, it looks like you've gone a little crazy.
Yeah, big time.
I was making fun of Sai for his 501st battle pack that he has over there. I know you guys can just see a small fraction of it there. And I was hoping that he'd come on and tell you guys just how terrible of a set that is. Because I watched this Greg's Gardening Tips guy and he said it was pretty bad. So
I mean, let's face it, what would you rather? Would you rather the 501st battle pack or some nice juicy tomatoes?
It's not even a question. Not even a question. No, I'm excited about getting that set. I have some plans for a review on it that I think could be really funny for people to enjoy. And it's going to involve some tomatoes, by the way.
Oh, so, man.
I just had to get my hands on one. Apparently there's people out there, and I know I was just shocked to hear this. There's people out there that really want that set, apparently.
Yeah.
Have you heard about that, Sai?
The tomato battle pack, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, why are people wanting this thing?
A tomato battle pack would be amazing, or tomato. I'll assimilate for the day, a tomato battle pack. Yeah, no, I mean, here in Ireland, so you could get the 501st battle pack for a long time in Smith's toy store. Again, probably you've heard of Smith's, but even the next day we went in and there was a trolley and there was a pile of them. So I took a photograph, put on Instagram, and everyone was like, oh my God, are they yours? I was like, oh my God, no. But yeah.
I've only seen one in the flesh so far, and it was literally as we were walking into Smith's, a guy was walking out the last two boxes.
Oh, yeah. Did you break his kneecaps? And
no, I just pointed and went, he got two, get the mailman,
Turbo Man. Yo soy Turbo Man.
I brought snacks.
Oh,
Sai, yeah. You are living the life, my friend. Not only does he have a 501st battle pack, but for those of you that may be listening to us in the future, because I forgot to mention last week that this is available everywhere the podcasts are available. If you don't want to sit and watch, you can listen. Sai just showed himself off some fingers of the chocolate variety.
Some of the greatest things. You mentioned that. He showed off some fingers.
He just showed it. He has 10 of them, apparently. Wow. He keeps impressing us here.
Well, this is a good topic. Does he have 10 or does he have 8 and 2 thumbs?
Oh, well, there's a question.
There you go. They're all there. They're all there. All these, what were we speculating on the other day? There was some type of body part. We're trying to determine if it's its own thing, or I can't remember what it was.
Thumbs?
We get into some weird conversations, it seems.
Was that on one of the group chats? Or?
Yeah, I feel like it. We were talking about, I don't know if it was like, is butt legs or is legs butt? I don't know. I don't know if it was that or...
I know what it was. We were talking about the whole thing with Splash on Disney Plus where they had CG'd away her ass cracks. Where it literally went back to
is
legs.
Back to legs. Does butt exist? Or is butt legs? Who knows? This is what you signed up for when you came in today. Like, this is the conversation, and you're like, I'm never coming back here again at this point.
No, this is my kind of conversation, so let's bring it on.
Welcome to the madhouse.
Oh boy. Speaking of triggering people, do you think it's time, Craggle? Should we trigger everybody from the UK right now with my lack of knowledge?
We mean, what did Rogue call it? Craggle's Quiz? We've got to find a better name than that for it.
Craggle's Quiz, it could be with like it's K-U-I-Z, so Craggle's Quiz.
Oh, that's just going to trigger people who can't spell. I don't know.
They're like, I thought that was how you spelled it.
Okay, let's get on with this.
Oh, boy.
Right then. We'll start off with something fairly easy.
Okay.
Question one. What is a ginger nut?
A ginger nut is a crazy redheaded man. Ginger nut.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer, not phoning a friend on this one.
Well, I'm sorry to say that is incorrect. It's so close, though.
Okay.
A ginger nut is a kind of biscuit, or as in the US, you would say cookie.
Okay.
And it's flavored with powdered ginger and a variety of other spices. It's sometimes known in Canada, the United States, as a ginger snap.
Oh, ginger snap. Okay.
Yeah, we call them ginger nuts over here.
I get it. Okay, so the snap. I don't think either of those things really works very well. The snap or the nut. It's really just a cookie, right? It does snap though when you cook it or when you.
That's the thing over here. We would say biscuit cookie. We only refer to chocolate chip sort of cookies, yeah. really.
I kind of like a biscuit for us is like a thing that you would put butter on, like
a scone. I think we would call it a scone, maybe.
I think we use scones as well, but I don't know. Biscuit is more common, and cookie encompasses so much here, though. Like, there's actually like a cookie aisle that you would go into at the grocery store, and that's everything. But you'd have biscuits.
It's similar, like when you say candy, that can also mean chocolate. Whereas we don't use candy very much in the UK, but when we do, it normally refers to just like hard boiled sweets or just like, you know, just basically like confectionery as opposed to chocolate, like just like licorice and stuff like that, really.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you have biscuits and gravy as well, though?
Yeah, that confused me no end. I was like, why the hell are they putting gravy on their digestive biscuits? What's going on there?
See, you can't do that. You can't call sweet biscuits, and you can't call biscuits. You can't
put Bisto on friggin' bourbons and custard creams. What's wrong with you people?
I wish I knew half of what you were talking about. I'm glad that's not the next question, by the way.
Well, the next question is a doozy.
Okay.
Translate the phrase, I'm cream crackered and that's no lie.
I'm cream crackered and that's no lie. Let's see. What would it be if you were cream crackered? It sounds like it's obviously not something that you'd want to be, right? You don't want to be cream crackered. Does it mean that you are, you're embarrassed? Does it mean like, you know, you had a pie in your face, so you got cream crackered? I'm embarrassed. Okay. What is it?
Do you want to keep guessing or?
Does it mean that you're angry? I can go through every emotion.
I just can go through every single emotion you can think of.
Angry, sad, happy, embarrassed. I don't know.
It's more of a feeling than an emotion.
Yeah.
It's more of a feeling?
Yeah.
Does it mean you're angry then? Like, man, I'm cream crackered and I'm coming for you.
Not that kind of feeling though.
That guy bought the last 501st battle pack and I am cream crackered right now. What is it, Craggle? I don't know.
So I would say the official translation is, I am very tired, honestly.
I'm tired?
Yeah, because cream crackered is kind of basically Cockney rhyming slang for knackered. And knackered is basically like a slang or a colloquialism for being tired, like extremely tired. Like when you're really aching and you just have no energy left, you're knackered or cream crackered. Okay. And people often add, and that's no lie, when they're saying, like, basically, honestly.
So this is like Inception level. You're like, you're going from like one phrase that kind of sounds like another and just going down into the rabbit hole of words here.
Yeah. We do that.
Man, this is making me cream crackered. God, I'm such a poser.
Right. And so last time you got the first two questions wrong. And you got the third right. Oh,
the pressure is on. I will say, though, the whole knackered thing, I've never even used the phrase knackered. But
yeah, I picked a hard one there for you.
Okay, I appreciate that. I think it's fun. I'm learning from this, too.
This one is a good one. What is TV pickup?
TV pickup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, even Sai doesn't know this one.
Sai doesn't, see? Sai has been exposed.
This might be only mainland Britain, I think. This might apply to
TV pickup. I'm looking through the chat to see if anybody can give me an hint. I can't get them all wrong. TV pickup. Okay.
Bricking it. Tell me what it is.
Oh, it's obviously not when you actually pick up a TV, because that would be too simple.
Nope.
TV pickup. Does it revolve around a television?
Oh, a teaser's life has heard of it. Isn't that your daughter?
Yeah,
heard of it.
So your daughter's heard of it, but you haven't.
What is it? TV pickup. Okay, it's not one of those channels on Sky, obviously.
Okay. I got it. No, is it when you don't pay for cable, but you're just using an antenna to pick up television stations?
No.
Oh, come on! It's so perfect. Okay.
I thought you could be an American. You're gonna go down something like do with pickup trucks or something because you love those in the States. No. America.
No.
So, actually, TV pickup occurs during breaks in popular television programs when there is a large surge in demand for electricity caused by the simultaneous boiling of kettles and the opening of fridge doors by millions of people at the same time. It happens quite often with things like Coronation Street, which is kind of basically like one of the most watched programs in the UK, but also during like football, what you would call soccer matches, there was one, I can't remember, in the 90s, there was like a semi-final that England was in. Mm-hmm. And during the halftime television commercial, they had a massive power surge because so many people went and turned the kettle on at the same time to boil the kettle for a cup of tea.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, in the UK, we actually have to take into account when people might all boil the kettle for the cup of tea at the same time.
Like, not everyone go
energy
once.
Supply for the country.
That's crazy. It's amazing that so many people are interested in the same thing that they would all go and do that same activity too.
I mean, for the most part, up until very recently, we only had 5 TV channels. So,
yeah,
wow,
yeah.
See, that's like the opposite here. Like we have like 680, and it's like you can't even watch that many. So, like, why?
Yeah.
Fascinating. I mean, this is educational to me, and I think the chat's having fun with it too. I do see someone says, "I hate Coronation Street." I'm assuming that is like a soap opera of sorts.
It is, yeah. It's okay. The longest running soap opera, I think, in history.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been going since '60s, like not early '60s. There's one actor who's literally been in it since the very first episode as well.
How many times has that person died and come back?
What, in real life?
No, no.
They just bringing him back.
Possibly in real life, but in the show. You know how soap opera is and all the drama that happens in it and such.
I don't know, but he slept with, like, I don't know, 100 people or something.
I mean, I can see why people watch it then.
The thing with the soap operas is that there's only like 2 or 3, maybe 4 stories at most. They just repeat them with different characters every year, you know?
Right. Sort of like movies. All movies kind of stall the same. We were talking about this a little bit last night. Jim Blade was talking about how he wanted like a villain to actually win in a movie and how that's probably never going to happen, but it would be kind of a fun turn of events, right?
Yeah, but then I started like listing off some films where the villain did actually win. He hadn't seen any of them.
Right, right.
So, like
it's,
I said,
it's always
7.
Like the middle movie, though. I mean, you can have movies where the bad guy wins. I mean, that's a good example, too. But there's always some redemption at the end, right? Because people don't like leaving on a sour note.
I don't know. There was no redemption in 7. Just Gwyneth Paltrow's head in the box.
Are there any other examples?
I got a few of them last night. The Dark Knight, we said, but I think you said, well, the fact that there's a Dark Knight Rises.
They're saying Infinity War, of course.
Yeah.
That's a middle
Most
movie.
Of the Saw films, I would say. He wins, doesn't he? So he gets away with it, doesn't he, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Villains do win sometimes.
Is it Laura Biden, the Citizen? Does he win in that one as well?
But that one's tough, though, because he's a bad guy, but he's kind of a good guy. Like, when you're cheering for the bad guy, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad guy. Like, this guy, if you guys don't know Laura Biden, Citizen, the guy's family was murdered, and he goes on, like, a revenge, like, rampage to get back at the people that did it. So you're kind of cheering for the guy because he's not really the bad guy, even though he is... You know, he's doing bad things.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun movies when you're kind of cheering for the bad guy.
Definitely. Yeah. It's weird. I had a whole list of them last night and now we're live on the stream and I'm on the spot. I can't think of any more.
It's why you can't talk about anything outside of the podcast or whatever. You just got to come on and be like, save it all for that.
Yeah. We can't talk to each other anymore as friends. So we have to save material for the podcast.
We're done. What about Lego? Did anything happen in the Lego world this week?
There was they've had a couple of things come out for the DC Fandom event. Do you know about DC Fandom?
No.
Okay, so basically, because of COVID, lots of like big comic conventions have been cancelled, main one being San Diego Comic-Con. Yeah. And there's been a few sort of virtual events. DC Comics have done their own one, or they're doing their own one this weekend for 24 hours, where they're going to have... kind of like panels and like trailers and all information about upcoming DC movies, TV shows, and some of the video games and stuff as kind of like a virtual online convention. And they've announced a couple of Lego exclusives for that. The first one is, do you know like the Comic-Con exclusive minifigures in those blister packs?
Sure.
They've got one of Supergirl based on Supergirl, the television series. With that one, you have to enter a sweepstakes competition to be in a chance of winning one, which annoys a lot of people, including myself, because even though the tagline to DC Fandom is a global experience, you can only enter if you're inside United States or Canada.
Yeah. Okay.
So apparently the globe is just those two countries.
Do you have to pay to enter or can anyone enter?
I think anyone can enter, but you're limited to like one entry per person, something okay. like that.
I'll enter for you, Craigle, if you want me to enter for you.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, I'll enter.
And then you win, and you'll be like, I want $1,000 for this figure.
Yes. No, I would be a man of my word. I'd give it to you.
Oh, thank you, Greg.
I don't have any luck, though, so you probably wouldn't win.
Get Clark to do it. I'm sure he's lucky.
I'll have everyone in my family enter, the cat, the dog.
The other one they've done is another sort of Lego, like, I guess, it's like a diorama or a vignette type build. They did one for a Comic-Con, I think, last year, and it was like Batman on the rooftops of Gotham, and it had no sort of exclusive pieces, but it came in this really nice sort of box, like a bit sort of like a portrait shaped box. And they've done one for Wonder Woman, which is a recreation of an iconic comic cover. I think it's based on the very first appearance of Cheetah, which of course is going to be the upcoming villain in the new Wonder Woman 84 movie. Again, it doesn't look to be anything particularly exclusive except maybe a printed tile, but the box looks fantastic. And it looks like a really nice set, but I can see people just sort of finding the instructions online and making it themselves with what parts they have, you know?
Yeah. That was the one that I actually ordered that this morning.
Or did you?
Or attempted to. Pre-ordered it. for Craigle. I got two. We'll see what comes through.
Someone tried to order it for me, and it failed.
I wasn't overly impressed with the set because when I found out that the two minifigs are from the DCCMF line, I was like, well, I already have those. And the set, there's nothing really about the set itself that is really like, oh, wow, I got to have that outside of a tile that's on the front that says Wonder Woman. And I think it says 10 cents on it. Is that what it says?
Yeah, it's basically like the information from the comic cover that it's based on. I'm thinking this though, in the pictures, it looks printed. But I know when they did one for Batman, I think it was last year, it was the 80th anniversary. That was actually a sticker.
Oh,
it was an exclusive sticker, but it was a sticker you had to put on there. So
no, that's terrible. The box is really cool, though. I have to admit, when you said like it's all about the box, a question for you: when you get this, are you opening it up, or is it just gonna be a collector's piece?
I think I'll open it up. I did that when I got the Star Wars Celebration one in, was it 2017? I went to Orlando, and that one had like nothing exclusive in it. It was just Luke and Han in like stormtrooper outfits and a bit of basically of the detention cell block corridor, but I still wanted to open it and like you experience it anyway. And the good thing with these boxes, they're done like a premium product, so you can pretty much put it back away, and apart from the cut, you know, the tabs on the side to seal it, it's like it's never been opened, you know.
Yeah,
that's good
for sure.
No punch tabs, that's for sure.
Oh, how do you feel about punch tab size? Is it something that you prefer?
No, I don't know if you remember a little while ago, we had a little bit of fun about why do you open on the left, et cetera, et cetera. And you revealed it, obviously, in the 100K. But I'm right-handed, so I always open from the right. So I pick up a box, say, hidden side, and I open from the right all the time.
Okay. But
it's like when I pick up cereal, the picture is always kind of that way. But punch tabs, I always cut the glue. So I don't even rip the box, and if there's a punch tab, I don't use the punch tabs ever. Never, ever. Okay.
Because they're on the wrong side for you, technically, then.
What?
They're kind of on the wrong side for you, because you opening everything from the right, you don't want to open a punch tab box, because it's like, well, that's on the left, and it's going to mess up my scheme.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Eventually, I understand why you open yours from the left, because Lego wants you to open them from that side.
Technically, yes.
Yeah, so, but I was always afraid if I use the knife and I come along to the punch tab will fall off and the boxes look weird. Yeah, but I think they're a stupid idea. I know I know kids aren't supposed to collect the boxes and it's done for them to open them easily, but they're horrible.
It's weird, isn't it? Because they seem, Lego think that in Europe, we can't open a box safely ourselves without punch tabs. But then they also think that Americans won't buy Lego sets unless they know how many pieces are in there.
It's so weird. I was thinking the same thing, because I've gotten sets sent to us from Europe, and it's like, even big sets have punch tabs. I'm like, why is this a thing? And then you can't see the piece count, which I kind of like the lack of piece count, because then you're not judging a set solely off that, which so many of us do.
Yeah. I mean, I was really annoyed when I got the Boba Fett helmet set. Now that's like almost put out like a premium product at 18 plus, you know, the slick minimalistic black box art, and there's a punch tab on it. I'm like, come on.
I was just like, punch right through that thing.
I was just like Lego. I both love and despise you, Lego.
If we couldn't complain about Lego, it's just, it would be that we didn't love it, right? Like, you're always going to complain about everything. Yeah. But there's a lot more positives. In fact, I think Lego this year, they're just firing all cylinders. There's so much good stuff coming out. It's amazing. Like, I'm in the middle of building the Nintendo right now, which is like right behind me here. Oh, I love that set so much. It's so good.
I'm surprised they kept that a secret for as long as they did. Considering the amount of leaks, even like the Harry Potter CMF series 2, that was being sold before it was officially revealed, you know, in stores. Yeah. So with the NES, like that being kept a secret until the official reveal and it being so late in the day compared to like the other Mario sets, I'm astonished. You know, it's like, if they can do that with that set, why can't they do it with other sets?
Yeah,
I agree. I'm kind of shocked this Nintendo thing didn't happen 30 years ago, honestly. Like, you think about when the Nintendo was like a massive thing, like in the late 80s, maybe even early 90s. Why didn't the Lego NES come out in, or NES, as you guys say, why didn't that come out in 1990? Although then it would have been just a straight up like gray box with studs all over it. So I'm kind of happy that it happened now, but it's just so crazy. This partnership took so long to come together.
I was going to say, that's one thing I noticed in America. You don't say NES, you say NES.
NES.
It's like, just save time and say NES.
Where's the Z coming at, though? Or the Z? NES. Why not NES? You say NES.
NES. Yeah.
Where's the Z?
Yeah. Oh, I think it comes more. I think what happened is when they brought out the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, it was called the SNES. And like then people start referring to the one before it as the NES.
Okay,
so
I think
that's where it sort of come from.
Regardless, amazing consoles. I'm gonna talk, I think, tomorrow on Missing Pieces. I won't bore you guys with my thoughts on Lego Super Mario, but we got into that this week, and it's crazy the replay value of that set. The starter course, we build sets all the time and we sit them down, you know, you move on to the next thing. That thing, Clark, is still taking the course and making new stuff and playing through it. It's wild. Oh, there's Mario.
Mario.
Oh, when he's turned off, he's something else, though. There he is. Someone said that that's what they view in their nightmares when Mario's turned off.
Yeah. Well, Generic Stud has raised a good point here. He says, I do sometimes wonder if Lego allows certain sets to leak to build hype.
It's good marketing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
Although I feel like the fact that they get so angry with some people for like covering the leaks and stuff that, I don't know. I feel like part of me would say, like, if it was any other company, then yeah, of course they have. But with Lego, I think it's mainly just a lack of control in certain areas of the business, maybe.
Yeah.
I was told that sometimes companies do purposely leak. It's part of their way of doing things. But Lego are extremely strict, and people who have leaked stuff have been fired in the past 12 months. Just straight out, you're gone. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is like business secrets, and I understand, like, when they're dealing with partners like Nintendo, for example, they want that thing released on a certain day. If it comes out early, that's a problem for that company. Yeah. So I do get that, but it does build the hype. Like, if anything, it's advertising, but maybe they want to be in control of that advertising as opposed to like random Joe 17 is like, here's the Instagram photos of the new Diagon Alley set. And it's like, well, that's not how we really wanted to reveal it, right?
Yeah. It's funny though, because I feel like what's happened is that it's where they manufacture. They've opened, you know, factories outside of Berlin across like the world, and I think like the security on those is not as tight, and that's where they struggle, because in Berlin itself, it's so tight, the security. Like I think I mentioned before, there was a documentary a few years back when they were looking for a new designer. It's basically when I first saw Justin Ramsden, who designed the Stranger Things set and Welcome to Apocalypseburg, and they were showing basically the meeting of the people talking about development of the CMF series. I forget which one. It was the one that had the hot dog guy. Someone in the chat will be able to know which one that is.
Somebody knows.
And they were, obviously people were filming it as a documentary, and they turned to the camera and said, do you want him to say that line again from a different angle? And they were like, oh no, we're just observing you naturally. And they're like, well, we're not doing it naturally. We're just repeating what we did 2 months ago. Like, I went, what? And they said, like, oh yeah, we're you're not seeing an actual live meeting because we can't let you see our secrets. So what we're doing is we're reenacting the meeting that we had 2 months ago. And the documentary filmmakers were like, oh right, okay. And then, like, well, that goes to show like how Lego is secretive. And then I remember walking around Billund on my last day there before we had to, you know, basically get the plane home. And we walked around like the sort of Lego offices, and I got my camera out because I saw some cool Lego sets like in the window that someone had at their desk, and they have these metal shutters over the window, and they lowered the shutters when they saw me with my camera to stop me taking photographs like inside the office in case there was anything in there that they were working on. I couldn't see, there was glare on the windows, my camera wasn't that good, but they took full precaution there.
Yeah, it's a fortress. It's an, and they actually have like Lego security with the Lego on the Lego logo on the cars, and they go around patrolling and everything. It's crazy.
Please tell me their cars look like Lego City Police cars. And stuff like me. Can you imagine if they put a body on there and they're like driving around in real life size Lego cars? They get out wearing like the costumes and stuff. It'd be so awesome.
Yeah, they all go around with like the Brickbuster mask that Ryan wears.
It would literally make my day if I saw that.
It's crazy. The other thing I think that's been revealed, I don't know how much you might know about this, but they've introduced now finally Braille bricks for people who are blind or have, you know, have eyesight, you know, impairments, so that they can build Lego and sort of basically learn Braille through play with Lego.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. It just, you know, it's another way of getting someone into the hobby that might have difficulties. I mean, I remember reading somewhere that someone was saying, like, surely they can feel the difference between bricks by foot. Yeah, but if you can just run your thumb over the top and feel what brick it is, as if reading, it's much quicker. You know, like we just look by sight. If you've got to hold it in your hands and feel all the edges and count the studs, you know, in your head, it's so much easier for them if they have the Braille marking on there. And what Lego also is saying is that they could use this for children or for people who have, you know, become blind in later life, to teach them Braille. So they learn Braille through Lego, which I think is a fantastic thing.
Yeah, you'd be way more motivated to do it when you're doing something fun. Are they also going to do the instruction manuals then as well? So you'd feel the manual to see like where you're putting the pieces to? Is that the way it would work?
I'm not sure. I've only seen the different bricks so far. It was on their Instagram. They showed a short clip video on there about it. They announced it, I think, start of the year, but it was kind of like a low-key announcement that they were working, I think, with some charity or some blind people's association, and then they were going to develop this, basically. Mm. But yeah,
I think anytime you can gamify education, I think really works well for kids. Like I remember back when I was in elementary school, we had the basic Mac computers or whatever there. And as not fun as math is, we had this game where you were trying to launch a rocket ship. And every time you got a math answer correct, you would then get closer to doing that. And that made it so much more fun than sitting in front of a classroom on a chalkboard and like learning these things.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think with the bricks, they actually have like A printed on the side, and there's printing on the side of those Braille bricks as well, which is pretty good. I mean, but to me, I collect Lego, so I collect. I'm a bit like bricks are. Some of the weird things I collect to do with Lego, you look at them and you go, "What are you doing?" Like, but these are collectible to me. I want them. I really want them.
Right. Yeah, because it's different.
Yeah. That's great. In a sense, but then I can also see that being like potential backlash. I can imagine like if you did a video on there, people going like, "Why are you buying this? You're depriving someone who's blind of having a Lego set." You know, that Lego set could go to someone who really needs it. Even though like Lego are probably going to produce, you know, thousands of these. You know, I don't think there's going to be a shortage. But I can see that being the kind of backlash that happens.
There's always that guy. You know,
me.
No, I'd say if they're on sale on Shop at Home, no one would really bother, because they're for everyone. Then it's not just going to be a limited thing. If it was limited, I think it'd be just for school, like part of that education load banner that they have. But yeah, no, I think it'd be pretty cool. It'd probably be a boring video though. Check this out, like, you know.
Yeah,
I'd be interested to see how it works. Like, I imagine, I'm hoping Lego will do some kind of like video where they break down exactly how it works and like, you know, what their kind of, you know, aims are for it. I'd like to learn more about it, definitely.
Yeah,
Lego seems to be really good at tutorials as well. Like that Mario thing from last week when they showed how it actually works. Because that was the big thing I was thinking with Mario when it came out. I was like, well, how do we figure out how to play with this thing? And they did such a good job with the videos and stuff that's on there. So I definitely think Lego, they're doing everything right now, as far as I'm concerned.
I wouldn't say everything right. They've done a lot of good stuff.
There is that one thing that happened recently that I wasn't 100% agreement with, but... You know, I understand sometimes when pressures come down on you, you have to make decisions that you wouldn't necessarily want to make.
I don't know what you're talking about now.
The Osprey?
About? Oh, okay, right, yeah. I mean, I was just thinking in general, the stuff that we all sort of go, how many days since last nonsense, you know? But
yeah, zero. I guess I'm just super happy with the sets they're putting out. And that's the main, like, you can complain about anything you want, but if you're happy with the products that you're enjoying, what more do you really have to complain about, you know?
I think it's part and parcel of being passionate about something is that you're gonna complain. Like, yeah. I remember, like, when I was complaining about Star Wars or something, someone's like, "You're a massive Star Wars fan. Like, how can you say a single bad word against it?" And it's like, because
you
Star
love
Wars.
It.
Yeah, you know,
I get it.
It's something that you're passionate about. Then I think you will, you know, you almost have higher expectations of it than someone who's just a casual watcher who goes, "Yeah, that was all right. Yeah, nothing bad about it. Nothing, you know."
Like, oh, Rise of Skywalker, good movie.
Plus, of course, as I mentioned before, we're British and we love a good grumble. You know, we love a little bit known. Yeah.
Is that
the same in Ireland, Si?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, everything from the weather to the price of bread to look at your man down the road cutting the grass on a Sunday. Gee.
I think this may be universal everywhere because we like to complain here quite a bit as well. So,
yeah.
I think it's just a thing.
Oh, we've got a donation here.
We've got a donation from I See Dead People 35, who says, "Loving the stream. You guys are great."
Well, aww, thank you so much. Thank you.
Should we turn it over to the chat to see what these guys want to talk about?
Yeah, we can.
If you have any topics or anything, unless you guys have anything that you want to discuss further, I should say that we go into these without really any kind of outline or anything. We just kind of converse and see what things turn into. And I find that that's a fun way to do things.
Yep.
But we also have to get the chat involved too.
I mean, just on the topic of like of moaning or grumbling, I think the British have turned it into a fine art form. I feel like we like to grumble, but we don't like to complain, if that makes sense.
I get
like it. We're moan to each other and go, "Oh, isn't that terrible?" But in terms of actually like going up and complaining about service or something, that's not something that we kind of almost shy away from it as a country. Whereas America, I feel a lot more like, you know, because
outspoken.
Yeah, and I think because like you do the whole tipping culture, so you tip for service and stuff like that you want more from it. Whereas with us, we go, "Oh well, it only costs so much, you know, we're not going to bother complaining. We just have a grumble amongst ourselves about it, you know."
Is it because you think maybe you guys are more kind than we are to each other? So you might to yourself.
Wow, like, those are your words, not mine.
I will say, and this, I'm not blowing smoke or anything, but all the people that I've interacted with that are from the UK and Ireland, they're good people. Like I've had nothing but good experiences, and I feel like I know Craggle has kind of told me differently, but I feel like if I went over there, everything would be like really great. But he's like, "Well, maybe not so much."
I think you have this image in your head of like an episode of Simpsons when you come over and like everyone will be like Mary Poppins or Dick Van Dyke,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. But everyone's been so good and nice. And it's I like you think about New York City, you think about everyone being like grumbly and angry and like harshness. But then you said you went to New York City and everybody was really nice to you. So it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just
in Manhattan, particularly. Everyone there was so helpful. They bent over backwards to help people. They were welcoming. They were kind. It was when I went to Orlando that people treated me like dirt.
Florida man.
Yeah. I think Ryan must have said, "Look, this guy Crackle's coming over. Like, this is his picture. Like, just give him the absolute worst time of his life." You know, never mind the fact that I didn't know Ryan back then, but, you know, I'm sure he had something to do with it.
We'll put this in the theory book with Rogan becoming a Brick Bro UK.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I always wanted to be American because just in the movies, Americans looked great and they were so nice and America was amazing. I mean, even New York, to me, in my mind, New Yorkers are extremely friendly and really nice. But I think it's a holiday thing. When you go, or vacation thing, if you go somewhere, you're having the best 2 weeks of your life and everyone's so nice to you because you're paying. But if you live in the country, you're going to be like, "Oh, get me out of here, please." You know what I mean?
Right.
But I've always wanted to be American and I wanted to live. I still do. Wouldn't mind it. Maybe somewhere upstate New York or somewhere.
It's beautiful.
I think Greg lives in a beautiful part in Northwest. Although he tells me it's cold. I always see him like going down to the creek and like, you know, racing the RC cars in the sunshine. Like, you don't know the meaning of the word cold. Come live in Wales.
For like 3 months, it's awesome.
Yeah. We have weather that will bend your nipples, you know?
I get it. But it's like those winter months, I'd like to not be cold. I just like the warm temperatures.
Personally. I woke up one morning, it was so cold, the flame of my lighter froze.
Wales is cold. It's colder than Dublin.
Yeah, it's wet as well.
Speaking I remember of people,
go ahead.
I had there was a comment here from a generic stud. He actually went to Cardiff to go to the Lego store, and he said the people there were incredibly polite. So Craggle wasn't there, apparently. I'm kidding.
Yeah, they're good people in my local Lego store. I know most of them on like first name basis, so they're good people there.
See, this confirms people from the UK. Good people.
I was just going to say, on the topic of weather, I remember a while back there was an advert on TV for Welsh lamb, and it started off saying, in Wales, we don't mind a bit of rain because it makes the ground better, which then makes our lamb better. And I used to say, we don't mind a bit of rain. We've got no friggin' say in the matter. We have to, like, not mind it. Otherwise, we'd all go friggin' crazy, you know?
They're trying to brainwash you.
Yeah.
You like the rain.
We like the rain in Wales, we do.
Hey, at least you don't have droughts. You don't have fires.
No, we had a flood earlier on this year, though.
Okay, there you go. You don't like the rain then.
I mean, it is 2020, so anything's possible.
Oh, I hate to say like what's next, but what's next, you know? I mean, we're almost through August, so I think we might actually survive this, but I don't know. That's still a long
time. Oh, see, now you've gone and jinxed it. Now, like,
the locusts fly through.
If the world
my
ends now, it's your fault, Greg.
It might as well at this point. It feels
we
like
we were 4 months like left of the year, and then someone had to go, I think we're gonna make it. And
you think about you think about 4 months before like March when all this started happening. Everything seemed good then too. So maybe things are actually good now and it's just gonna progressively get worse. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, I've distracted enough not long enough. Let's have a look at the chat, shall we? See what people want to talk about.
Anybody have any amazing topics or comments or questions or anything that even if we've already talked about or haven't talked about, throw it out there if you want to. I see a lot of people saying how nice people are in various areas here.
So someone says, just a question, what do you think about Fall Guys? Seems like a game that you guys and Clark would like.
Yeah, I've actually played it. Have either of you played Fall Guys? I don't think Craggle has.
No.
No, okay. My daughter, she's in the chat, ATs is life. Hey, she's at me to play with her, and I'll give it a shot. I was watching Ash and Flash play the other night, and it looks crazy. It looks like my kind of thing. I'm not a Fall Guy person, but this looks a little bit better. So I'm going to give it a go, and she live streams a little bit, so I'm going to jump on with her and get killed all the time, because young people are better than me.
Yeah, if anybody is, if you don't know what Fall Guys is, essentially it's like a battle royale game in a sense that you're trying to get from objective A to B in most cases, or trying to do some type of match. And they start out with 60 people, and that slowly starts whittling down as you go through, and you got to be one of the first 40 people to get through like checkpoint one, and then you're one of 20 people and so forth. Like, I'm making this very simple, but that's what it is. And most of it is just trying to make moving or trying to get through obstacles and such. And it's sweeping the nation right now. It's free on PlayStation if you have PlayStation Plus. I played it with my nephews a few weeks ago, and it was really fun. Like, we had some good laughs. I don't know about the staying power of this and the way that like a Fortnite has existed for years and been super popular, but for right now this is a big thing, and I would certainly like to play more, but I tried it last night, but I got my butt handed to me pretty well. So you'll have fun with it though, Si. I think if you try it out, but I don't know how long it'll hold your attention for.
I was just saying, whenever I hear people saying Fall Guy, I think of that old TV show with the guy off the Bionic Man.
Yeah, Lee Majors.
See, yeah, Si knows. See, I was telling Greg about this, and he was like, no. And it's an American TV show, and I'm like telling the American about it. And I'm like, he was a stuntman, but he used to solve crime as well. And it was the guy off the Bionic Man. He's like, the Bionic Man? What's that? It was like the Million Dollar Man, you know, like Lee Majors in Scrooge. Greg's like, never heard of him. Don't know what you're talking about.
I think I was doing a TV pickup at the time that was on, and I didn't.
Were you cream cracking, and that's no lie?
I was cream cracking, and that's no lie, when I was doing my PV pickup, and I just totally missed on this entire series, apparently.
Oh, you ginger nut.
I'm a ginger nut. This is so bad. What I was going to say about Fall Guys, there was one other thing I was going to say about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you didn't interrupt it at all. It was nothing.
I should have said hold that thought.
I'll hold that thought, because we just have a donation here from Life of Foresight, who says, great quality stream, guys. Keep it up. If you guys didn't know, that's Brixie's other channel, which I actually been enjoying Life of Foresight's content, because he's getting into the RC realm, which he got a Traxxas RC, so I'm already into it. And I watched his video the other day, which is funny because I think his wife was filming him running his truck, and he hit her in the leg with the truck, and I was like, I know exactly how that feels to be on both ends of that, actually. And I commented that it's not an RC video until someone gets hit in the leg with one.
Wait, when did you hit Cody with a truck? I've never hit her.
It's Clark, man. We always go out together, and I'll be filming him. You know, he's driving his truck around. And all of a sudden, a truck that's going like 20 miles an hour hits you right in like your shin or like by your ankle. It's not fun, but it happens.
That's the content I've subscribed for. I want to see Cody get hit with an RC truck because I just want to see her reaction.
You want to see me get killed, basically.
I think she would just pick the RC car up and just destroy it in her hand, like with one swift move.
You know, I've offered to get her own vehicle so she could go out and run with us. It's just not something she's interested in. I'm like, how can a person not be interested in running RC vehicles? It's like the most fun thing you can do, but that's just my opinion.
You know, obviously me and you sort of properly met Greg, I remember one of my favorite videos, I think it was on Greg's World, and it was when you had that little helicopter that got taken by the wind, and it got like stuck in a tree like about a mile away on the other side of the road. The best part of that was when you moved the camera over to Clark and you said like, we can't get it down, and you went, oh no. And he went, I think I have to tell mum about this. I was crying so much. I was like, oh, like that's the point where you go, well, no, you don't have to, because we can go to McDonald's or we can go and get like a Happy Meal.
It was it made for a good video, but that sucked because I literally bought this brand new helicopter. It was like $60 or $70, started taking it off. Everything seemed to be under control, and then it slowly started drifting away. And the more I tried to do to get it back, the worse things got, until it was up above the tree line and then eventually was just in a tree in like the neighbor's house all the way across the way. And that was it. I should have just left the controller at their front door and been like, if this thing ever comes down, you got an RC helicopter. But yeah.
Yeah.
I've saw it as well, and I'd love it. You got me on this thing now, think about RC trucks and Nullig and us going out and going up the rocks, and it's so tempting. What have you done to me?
I know that's why I don't watch Craggle's Funko Pop videos, because I know I'm going to start collecting these things.
Come over to the Funko Pop side, you know.
I think the problem is anytime you watch somebody that's passionate about something, sometimes that passion can be like contagious, and then start getting into it as well. Like when the Crocodile Train came out, I had no interest in it at all. I was like, it looks like a poop train. And then Brickstar did a video on it, who's a train lover. And by the time I was done watching his video, I was like, I'm going to go buy this now. But I couldn't because it was out of stock. But that's all it takes, is for you to watch somebody that really loves what they do, and then you're in.
Well, it shows you like how like companies like Lego, I think, don't fully appreciate the power that people on YouTube do. When you follow someone and you know you're interested in that person, and they have this enthusiasm for a product, that can make all the difference. You know, obviously they send some free stuff out, but I still feel like a lot of companies don't fully appreciate the impact that, you know, it can have. You know, you can have a TV commercial and pay an actor and a director and all that kind of stuff, and people know it's fake, but when they see someone who's really enjoying something and, you know, getting pleasure out of it, getting fun out of it, is passionate about it, that is worth like 100 commercials, you know?
I'd hate to bring this up again, but Lan, hope you're listening to this, because that was the reason I didn't get in, basically, is because I make videos with my son. And it was like, that isn't necessarily what they're looking for in terms of advertising their products. And I'm like, I'll say this. I watched Just Too Good's review of the Mario thing, and I thought it was super good. Like, that was a fantastic review of the starter course. But what is it like to play with it with someone that's in the age demographic that it's intended for? And that's where I think a channel like mine can be helpful in that regard. But I get it. It's fine. But I don't know. I feel like there's a space for everybody. And maybe informative stuff works really well, and sometimes the entertainment stuff does too, and it's just goes down to what you prefer.
Yeah, I cancelled my pre-order for the starter course, because when I saw it first, I said, I really want this. And then I was like, oh, I don't think I really need this in my life. And then I saw Justin's video, and I was like, oh my God, I need this so much.
What have I done?
But yeah, no, I'm easily influenced. I think I'm a marketing person's dream person.
You're like, I'll take it. I'll take 10.
I'll take one of those.
No, but I mean, like, when you said about that, Greg, obviously, we don't want to get too hung up on this topic of the LAN, but I remember, like, when they said that, I just didn't get that, because, like you said, like, your audience primarily is people Clark's age and people your age. So children and parents. So on the one hand, you're getting, you know, the advertisement to children and they go, I want to play with that just like Clark does. And then you're also getting the adults who can see the experience they have, both the children, but also as a parent with that child. I would have thought that'd be a marketing dream basically, but
It's okay though. I mean, it's not going to stop me from doing what I love to do. It would have been a cool thing. And for me, more so than anything, it would have been like an honor, I suppose. Like, it'd be an honor to be a part of it.
And it's
a bit of a letdown, just like anyone. Like you obviously applied Craggle and that you were let down, and Brixar was let down. And I think especially with Brixar, for him, the recognition, I think, was like, would have been the coolest thing. And if anybody, like, I would have given my spot up if they gave it to me. I would give it up for Brixar because he deserves it more than anyone that I know.
I mean, what got me was that I applied just to have the experience of what it was like to apply and to get some feedback so I could have like something to aim for, something to shoot for, you know, get that feedback. Because they said that, you know, we will always give feedback if you're not successful. And the feedback I got was just so cookie cutter, so vague, you know, and ambiguous to the point of being just vacant. They said nothing, basically. They said so many words, but nothing of substance. So I was like, okay, well, you know.
Yeah. What can you do?
I'm in the exact same position I was before I applied. I've lost nothing. I've gained nothing, you know?
Sure. Yeah. And it doesn't stop you from enjoying this hobby or making the videos you want to make.
Exactly.
So it's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. So, looking into the chat, we've also got some other comments on here.
Ooh, Sai's getting into the fingers. He's making me jealous here, too.
Oh, I know. We've got something about, what are your thoughts on the new LEGO City main square set from Emerald Bricks 8?
I love it. I think it's brilliant. Okay, you can say it's really expensive, it's over expensive, but I saw this picture that New Elementary had, and they had it spread out like a 10 square, and I thought that's really good. But lately I'm thinking to myself, is this of value to me? And that's why I look at Lego and other things lately, and sometimes that would be of value to me, even though it's okay. The wife is in the chat as well. Even though it's 200 quid, it's 200 pounds, euros and $200, and it's brilliant. It's great. It's I want to start a Lego City at some stage when we win the lottery, and it's amazing. And the tram, I have one of the, I'm pointing up there for people who can't see, onto the one of the shelves. I have one of the older ones with the orange tram, and I think it's just really, really good. And if think of, is it of value to me, rather than just thinking it's too expensive, it's a load of rubbish really. But yeah, I love it.
I think that's a really great way of thinking of things. Like, don't look at the pieces, don't look at the price, look at the thing and be like, what would I pay for that and how much would I get out of it? And then if you look at that price and it's like, well, I can't justify that, then so be it. But if it, like the Nintendo for me was like, I was like, I would pay $300 for that set. I saw it was $230, instant win. The piano, I'm like, yeah, that's like $150 for me. That's $350. So I'm like, yeah, I'm out. So it's easy as that. I don't need to know if it's 16,000 pieces for $50 or if it's $16,000 for 50 pieces. It's just, it is what it is, right?
Yeah, we've also got another donation here as well.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Matthew. Matthew donated $2.99. He said, for Clark's Minecraft 21137 fund. You should see this kid's. I think that's the giant mountain cave one. The $600. Yeah, we need like a second train table too now, I think, for that, because we have three sets that need to go into Minecraft World that it's just like, we got to start building up. This is like New York City, and we got to start making Minecraft skyscrapers at this point.
Like Coruscant and Star Wars, they just keep on building the levels on top.
It's cool. And like so many of the sets that we have, people have sent us from their old collections and stuff, which is awesome, because I don't know if you've ever gone back and tried finding Minecraft sets from like 2017, 2016, 2015. They are ungodly expensive.
And no, but I have tried going back and getting the Pirates of the Caribbean sets from 2011.
Try going back and getting original pirate sets from like the 80s and 90s. That
I can't, because Rogues bought them all. He bought them all, and then he decided that he didn't want to do that. He wants to be into Disney instead.
When you see like a little pack that's just like one of the pirates, a treasure chest, and a monkey that's like $40, that's when you realize that you're probably out of your price range here for buying these kind of things.
Hey,
oh, look at that.
There's Captain Jack.
You never know what Sai is going to pull out there.
Wow.
Okay, Craggle.
Wow. Yeah, did you see Brixar actually did a video recently, and he had what I guess would be the equivalent to a classic battle pack. It was five figures, and like, you know, it would have like an accessory rather than a build. Mm-hmm. And there was one that was the pirates and sort of like the, I guess, the British Navy, and one that was like I guess sheriffs and Robin Hood and his Merry Men type thing, the Forest Men. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that I would love those, but. This one of those would probably be this like the same price as like the NES set, you know. It's just ridiculous, you know. And he had it in the boxes. They weren't like sealed boxes, I don't think, but they were like in quite good condition. The old yellow boxes that say Legoland on them and stuff, Lego mm-hmm. system. Oh wow, yeah, but they did look pretty.
Yeah, I believe it. It's you really have to be into it if you're going to go back in time and collect Lego. You have to be committed and be like, well, I'm just going to pay it. That's what it's going to take.
Or you have to be a really good burglar.
Yes.
You know.
Or find a garage sale. What do you call them? A boot sale? Is that what they are?
Car boot sale, yeah.
Yeah, you just got to...
Oh, I can't use that question next week. Let's cross that off the list.
I would have known that.
Who's giving you this inside knowledge?
There was two questions.
Who are you
I know.
Talking to?
What is a loft and what is a boot sale? I would have gotten those two. Outside of that, ginger nuts and all this other stuff, I just can't. But it's fun.
What's the furthest you'd go back to get a Lego set? Like, what would be an old, you know, how far? Like, I mean, for... I've got Paradisa here. Nice. One in the box. But they're expensive. And again, Justin got just too good. It's your fault.
He's driving up the prices.
Oh. No, he got me into them.
The thing is, you'll probably find this as well. It's harder for us because we have, you know, in terms of just size, we're a smaller country. There's less of them here. Like, around the same time I got into collecting the Pirates of the Caribbean sets, I think Ryan did as well. Because he watched them like for the on there, and he was getting the set sealed for the same price that I could find them, like open and used. And it's because there's just more in that country. Because obviously there was more manufacturers sent over because it's a bigger country. There's more people, but it just gets so frustrating because you can find them cheap like online from America, but then you have to pay shipping and we have import taxes and customs, and it just
about it where you're living. If you had like 3,000 mile radius. Or say 1,500 mile radius, if you're right in the center of area that you could buy sets from without really paying any crazy shipping costs, it'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of old sets, though, I thought this comment was really good. This is from Just Build It, who says we need a new theme called Lego History, where Lego goes back in time and remakes old Lego sets. Yeah. I'd be all over that.
Definitely.
Even if they charged a premium on it, I'd be in.
I think that, you know, there's definitely a market for that. I know they kind of do that sometimes, like when they did the Taj Mahal. I think there was one extra piece in there, and like there's a set that's almost a re-release of Star Wars one. I think it's like based on the final battle between, you know, Vader, Luke, and Palpatine. It is a remake, but it's more of a re-release than a remake. But if they just literally went back and did new versions, or not even new versions, but like you said, like a reproduced version of an old classic set, like classic space, classic castle. Mm-hmm. I think they would sell so well. There's definitely, you know, they can't just say Lego's just for kids. There's definitely a massive adult like fan base out there, and they've kind of acknowledged that a little bit. If you look at like the Pirates of Barracuda Bay, the packaging on that is done like the old classic Lego mm-hmm. pirate stuff. Do you know what I mean? And that made so many people happy. And if you imagine if they did a series like that, you go into a Lego store and you have a section that had like, you know, Forest Men, it had castle, pirates, you know, space, and in that old style packaging, mm-hmm. I guarantee you they would sell.
Capturing all these adults that were once kids that love these things and now have disposable income to spend money on Lego. It's such a good market. And I think that's the Nintendo, basically. It's adults that are buying that set. And it's the kids of the 80s and 90s that love that stuff. And they want to recapture. That's the whole reason I'm in Lego, is because I want to recapture that childhood love that I had, where life was simple and you sat down with your pieces and you built and had a great time. And everybody wants that again. And that, this is a great gateway to get back to that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Lego. Yeah. Do it. And charge it. You could charge crazy amounts for it too.
I feel like Lego has like the worst ideas team, because we as fans always seem to come up with better ideas that Lego don't do. And we're like, if you do this, you will have money because all of us will buy it. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do something else, you know? I mean, granted, you get occasional things like the 501st Battle Pack. What was that? That was like 2.5 almost 3 years of campaigning, you know. I guess they've done Lego Nintendo now, but not exactly how people wanted it, although it does seem to be quite fun. But it's just like, Lego, just give the people what they want and they will give you money. Come on.
Imagine having a company where you manufacture these things and you had all these customers coming to you saying, this is the thing that I really, really want and I will give you the money for that. That would be such a great position to be in, wouldn't it? You'd be like, okay,
you
want to pay me for this thing that I can easily make. Deal. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, like, and like that stuff, like by re-releasing old Lego themes like Castle, Pirate Space, there's no license fees. So it's not even like a case of, oh, well, they can't get the license. They own all that stuff. It's theirs. It's in
the
house.
You already have the molds and all this stuff that you need, most likely, I would assume. Like, yeah. Just do it. Anyways, maybe our feelings on this aren't the feelings that the majority of the Lego audience would feel. Like, say the average 10-year-old, they wouldn't have an interest in these things, right? They want a Lego City helicopter.
Because look at how, I think they just love Lego in general. You look at how much Lego that you've put in front of Clark and you're going, he's going to have no interest in this. He goes, yeah. It's the best set ever, you know?
When so I saw that Mario thing, that's the way I felt. I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. But then seeing playing that, I'm like, okay, this is a hit.
Yeah. You know? I think, you know, and look at when, I think we were on a private call and you showed me like basically one of these like totes that you had with all your old toys in there. Mm-hmm. Stuff that you think that would be too old and dated for Clark. He jumped straight in there. And he was pulling out toys and wanting to play with them. I'm like, can I have this? You know,
yeah.
I think that people underestimate just like how much kids can enjoy toys from all eras, you know?
Sure. Timeless. Lego especially.
Yeah.
It got me thinking. I was talking about how Lego's doing everything right, and then we sit here and we spend half of it. We spend the next half of it talking about how the land messed up and how they're failing at this and that. I'm like, okay, maybe I was wrong.
No,
maybe
this is a British podcast. Because
are we grumbling or are we complaining, though? We have to figure that out.
Well, we're not actually addressing. We're not going up to them and complaining to them, are we? We're just kind of like, you know, in a private, I guess it's a live stream, but we're not, you know, going up on knocking on Lego's door and going, excuse me, sir, I wish to register a complaint.
I mean, we could.
I can think of better ways, you know.
Yeah.
But no, this is the British way. Like, we moan all winter. When's it going to be summer? It comes summer. We're like, oh, go away. It's too hot. Go away. Yeah.
Graphic Brick said if they were to bring back an old Lego theme, it would most likely be a one-off adult collector's item that would cost an arm and a leg, which I'd be okay with that. Like, if take the most successful space set, say it was a $50 set at the time, put it out for $150 right now and see what happens. People would buy it.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, for a second, I thought GB then, his logo was for Great Britain, and I realized it was Graphic Bricks, and I was disappointed.
He's from the UK, though.
Is he? Oh, okay, then I'll let that pass.
Yeah, he gets a pass from you.
Yeah. Everyone gets one.
I think if they brought
Brick also confirms. Upside Down Brick was just confirming that kids don't care if it's a remake from the 90s. They just want Lego, which is what Craggle was saying there.
Mm.
Yeah. What were you saying, Si?
I think you made a good point. If they brought it, like, I know everyone says it won't happen, but there was a very old space set that had a monorail. And I think that's what everybody wants. So if they came along and remade one of those, it would be snapped up within like days, and it'd be out of production or be on a backlog for a long time. But something like that is a genius set to make.
Do you know what? It's really funny that you've mentioned that, because I recently did a video, a bit of a shameless self-promotion here. Top 10 Lego Ideas projects you should be supporting. And on there's one, which is basically, it's based on a theme that never was. It was designed by the guy who created the minifigure, who actually came up with the concept and, you know, design of a minifigure and all the proportions and stuff. And it never got made. And it was called Seatron. And it's basically like an underwater version of classic Lego space. And the reason why they scrapped development is because it was going to be heavily monorail based. And the previous Lego space monorail, Futron, didn't sell very well.
Wow.
But now it's one of the cult sets. It's one of the most sought after classic Lego sets. People are crying out for it. You know, it was almost ahead of its time. So yeah, if you've got a chance, go over to my channel. Greg hasn't linked it in the description below, but you can search it for Cut the Craggle.
It should be, is it not? Okay, I got to link both these guys. Actually, I'm sorry, Si. I failed miserably.
I'd ask it. Like, you know, for an increased fee, Si. I would.
I'll double your pay, Si. You know what? Triple it. I promise I will I'm gonna have links for both these when we wrap the show up here, and I'll feature this on the Brickatech community tab in case anyone hasn't watched it, and I'll link Sai there as well, and Craggle too, I guess.
Aww.
Even though he doesn't deserve it, but
I don't deserve it. Yeah, don't go watch my videos, I'm a terrible person.
No, actually very good. And Sai just getting into it, and I think we all know how hard it is to grow a channel. Even if you don't have a channel, you can probably imagine. So you guys need to go over and show Sai some love on his channel as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, these are just good peeps. That's when I told you guys, even though Sai isn't from the UK.
It's funny, because we were talking just before like this started, like we were saying, like, have me and Sai like spoke before? And I was like, not voice to voice, but I remember you were commenting on like a few of my videos before. And I think when I was in the stream, you were on the chat and vice versa. And Drew, for the longest time, I thought that you were like some sort of teenager or guy in his 20s. And it's because your old logo was a picture of Jack from Lego Hindside. And
I
know that's a separate character, not a Sig fig, it's just that I associated you with that kind of image of a guy in a hoodie, you know, like in his young age.
When we go to the Smith, we go to the toy shop, and my son, Nullick, he's always points to the hidden side. That's you. I'm like, no, that's not me. It's... a wife, two kids, and
Sai, yeah. we should do the Lego dads thing together. I was talking about Lego.
Yes.
I was talking about doing the Lego dads, and then the moms were like, well, what about the moms? I want to do a thing where it's just like Lego dads and moms get together and we talk about what it's like to have kids that do Lego and all this stuff. I don't know. I feel like I'm probably overcommitting to a lot of things here, but I just love like this form of communication. And it's just cool to, especially doing this live, because people can kind of tune in and just talk about whatever is on their mind too. I think it's just fun.
Yeah.
Again, I appreciate you coming in today and filling in for Rogue. We'll have to have a fan vote. We'll go with the majority whether Sai should permanently replace Rogue.
No.
I'm kidding.
I mean, I'll take anyone over Rogue.
No,
that guy.
But we would definitely love to have you back, Sai, as a guest, if you don't mind joining us sometime in the future too.
I'd love that. Yeah.
Yeah, we love having you. Yeah, and Craggle, we are looking for a replacement for Craggle, though, in all honesty. So if anybody would like to apply, all you have to do is leave a comment on this video when it's up, and we'll pick someone at random to come in. You just have to be from the UK or
Ireland.
Please
don't. This is all I have in life.
I'm kidding.
Don't take this away from me.
We won't. We had fun with this week. I appreciate everybody that commented in here, and of course Sai and Craggle for joining me, and Rogue for not being here. I'm kidding. And everyone that donated.
Should we tell people very quickly why he's not here though?
Is it because he's bringing back Brick Bros UK? Was that?
Well, he said that he is going to a birthday party for his brother. And remember, I had a theory that he was actually one of the Brick Bros UK, because when they start making videos, it's around the same time Rogue come back. Plus his name, Rogue, he's gone Rogue Runner. He's running away from his brother. Now we know he actually has a brother.
So next week, the episodes will be back with Brick Bros UK as our guest, Rogue and his brother. Absolute clickbait. The Return of Brick Bros UK, episode 4, and it's just Rogue and his brother here.
Inblade wants to replace Craggle.
No.
Oh boy. We'll do a fan vote for that too.
Your opinion is wrong. I mean, I can beat Inblade. He only says like 4 phrases.
Your opinion is
wrong. Shut up, B-Fab.
Absolutely not. So, Sai, any opinion you have, Jimblade would tell you you're wrong, even if it's just something that you think. So,
no, I've actually been in the chat on Jimblade's live streams before, and we've agreed on a lot of Ninjago stuff. So, I think I'm okay.
Oh,
so in that case, then we won't have you back on here, Sai.
If you say that Ninjago's awesome. Oh, any friend of Jimblade? Never again. No.
Yeah.
You're done. I'm kidding, of course. But
I forgot to ask Sai what like my important question.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have time? Can I ask a question quickly?
Yeah, go ahead. We'll do rapid fire on Sai here.
Okay. Sai,
yeah.
What is your favorite cheese?
Oh, not this.
Oh, does it have to be one?
Well, you can have a couple if you want.
Okay. I like Swiss, I like Brie, and I like red cheddar.
Okay.
Wow. You just impressed Craggle. He's like, okay, I like this guy. I hope you're not.
Those are all cheeses.
Don't ask him the question, though. Whatever you do, don't ask him the question.
Uh-oh.
Oh, the fourth question.
Oh, you can ask him. Go ahead. We'll wrap this up with Sai answering these questions. The fourth one, though, is a doozy. So stick around.
So what was the second one? I forget. It was.
Was it dinosaurs or?
Oh yeah. What is your favorite dinosaur? Is the second question.
Favorite dinosaur? I like pterodactyls. Are they class?
Technically not a dinosaur, but okay.
Come on, Craggle.
I like the Baryonyx. Is that how you pronounce it?
Baryonyx, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. Question three. What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
Oh, man. What? 40 knots.
Wow. I thought you, being so close to UK, would have got that reference. Oh, okay. And question...
It's from Monty Python, right?
That's right, yeah.
Because today on the Patreon call, Jenny told me all about this, and I need to watch that movie in order to be able to answer your question properly.
And question four is the one that Greg hates. Would you rather eat chocolate-flavored poo or poo-flavored chocolate?
Okay. Chocolate-flavored poo?
Okay.
And on that bombshell, so we end things?
Oh, no. There's no win there, but...
That's your title. Si O'Connor would rather eat chocolate-flavored poo.
Yeah, it tastes nice. So what? We eat stuff that comes from animals anyway, so milk comes from animals.
Yeah, can you imagine what the guy was doing when he first discovered you can milk a cow?
Yeah, what? Yeah.
This is literally what this podcast or stream has become, and I love it. This is why I love doing this. I want to thank everybody for joining us here. Si, of course, for joining us. I'll have links down below to Si and Craggle and Rogue's stuff down below and on the community tab as well. So thank you all for joining us. And I guess we'll see you same time, same place next week if this is going to become a thing that we're doing.
Bye-bye.
I guess it is.
Bye. Missing you already.